at Vices Radio Network.
Hey guys, we record Drugs and Stuff in advance, and that way there's always an episode that will be ready for you each week. The last episode was right after the Arnold Classic, and because it had some time-sensitive conversation, I thought it would be best to release that one next. So now we're going to go back and release the previous episode, which is still new. You guys have not heard this yet, but we're going back in time just a couple of weeks. Just thought I'd let you know, because there may be a moment here or there that doesn't line up with our current timeline. Now you know why. All right, guys, enjoy the show. Thank you for listening. Drugs and Stuff is for informational and educational purposes only. And this program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code ADVICES at checkout. Welcome back to Drugs and Stuff with Dave Cross and Scott McNally. This program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code ADVICES at checkout. Dave Crossland, what's going on, man? How you been?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Not much at all. Steady Eddie this week. Yeah. Just the usual stuff. But training's taking a positive turn, which is nice. Starting to really move forward a little bit now because I've been sort of fanning about for a while.
Good.
So, yeah, this, I don't know if it's just change of gym or just the fact that it's a lot more practical for me and I don't feel like I'm got a clock ticking over my head to get home or if it's just, I don't know, I think when we train, we sort of, we're very much like goldfish. We grow to the size of the gym we're in.
That is so true. So true. How are you seeing the differences in that? What's going on? First of all, where are you now? Is it closer to home or something?
Yeah, I'm at a place called Origins, which is supposedly a boutique gym.
What the hell does that mean? And what are you doing at a boutique anything?
Well, all right. Yes, I know. it's quite a weird place in the sense that, I mean, you go in and the reception is stunning. Huh. The changing rooms look like something out of a five-star hotel. There's all these Edison lamp bulbs hanging from the ceiling. Very, very stylish. But dumbbells go up to 70 kilos.
What's that in pounds, 70 kilos?
160-ish.
Okay, that's not bad, man.
And he's getting bigger ones.
No kidding.
You two full Olympic platforms, proper comp bars.
Okay.
No shortage of plate weight. The kit, for the most part, is very good. There's some bits that are a bit of a compromise because it's only a small place.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's for a very small little gym, it's very well equipped.
How long does it take you to get there?
5 minutes.
That's perfect. That's a perfect gym, if you ask me.
Yeah. It's not busy when I go in the morning. It's quite quiet. My wife and my daughter are coming with and training up there as well.
Oh, nice.
I just put my headphones on and get on with it. But it's small enough that I can just put my headphone, I can put my phone at the counter.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the Bluetooth headphones on and the range fits the whole gym.
And then you don't have to worry about getting messages from me and everybody else while you're training and get distracted, no, right?
I can just listen to the music and I don't have to worry about moving my phone around because the gym's quite small. But it's the guys very active in moving it forward. He's wanting to put a strongman area out the back in the car park at the back as soon as he can.
Nice.
I mean, it is very, very nice looking. And like I said, the change rooms are just like being in a hotel.
Yeah, when you first started explaining it before you got to the dumbbells, I was like picturing you at like this resort club with like a tennis racket under your arm and, you know, some sort of fancy imported water or something.
It's a real conflict in that sense because you've got this very sort of high-end style.
Yeah.
But actually quite an old school approach towards the equipment and the weights.
Nice. We kind of have that at one of my gyms. I go to Powerhouse World Headquarters and it they want to make it into a club type environment, 60,000 square feet, tennis, or not tennis, they have a basketball court and pool and all that. But then they also have all the stuff that makes Powerhouse Gym what it is, you know, a lot of hardcore equipment. Dumbbells could be a little bit heavier, but yeah, it has those nice amenities. Plus, you know, the equipment you actually want to use. So I get it, man. It's not a bad thing, but it's different than how we came up, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like I very much thought, because the guy that owns it comes from a strongman background. But when I saw the layout and the sort of decor, I was thinking, right, you know, we're going to have to be very, very careful here about how we put his dumbbells down and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him the other day, and he says, you know, as long as you're not stupid, he's got no issue with the dumbbell hitting the deck. If it hits the deck because you failed in a set, it hit the deck because you failed in a set. He said, I built the floor to take it.
That's a different event than just like chucking it down because you think you're a badass, right?
But there's plenty of gyms that even if it drops because you failed, will jump all over your back for it.
Sure, sure.
I mean, you know, a big dumbbell hitting the deck, whatever caused it to hit the deck, makes one hell of a noise, and obviously you do risk damaging the dumbbell as well.
Sure.
But no, he's very supportive of hard training, and I just sort of took things and thought, you know what, new gym, let's just start from the scratch, start light, just start building back up into everything.
Okay.
And it's going well. I'm pleased. And actually, whereas training for a long while has been a little bit like I need to do it, It's a lot more, I want to do it.
Nice. That's a great place to be. You know, it's where you started.
Yeah. You know, it's taken a while to get back and for various reasons, but I'm just point blank enjoying training. I mean, I'm not, you know, if someone watched me train, they'd be like, well, you don't train overly hard in comparison to how you used to train, which I don't. But it's building, and it's building consistently every week. So, weights are going up every week. Intensity is going up every week. Starting to push more and more into the failure areas every week. Still got a little bit of a pain in my elbow from the car crash, but that's improving by the week. And happy.
How many units of insulin do you take pre and post, and how much growth? 10? 15? 15? More?
None.
What?
No, I mean, yeah, no. The closest I get to insulin is a jam sandwich, I think.
Plenty of a spike, huh?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yes. No, it's good.
Have you found your? Has that affected your hunger level? Are you eating more now? Are you thinking more about your nutrition at all now that you're getting back into the weights?
It's starting to come back into line a bit better. Yes, because I've always been the same. If I'm focused on my training, then I find my diet very easy. If I'm not focused on my training, then I very much get a bit of, oh, what's the point with my diet?
It really does kind of like the one feeds into the other, doesn't it? Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not being overly sort of anal about timings and trackings. I mean, I train fasted and then I come back and obviously I'll have something clean and I'm still only getting 5 meals a day. So okay. I'm not eating huge amounts for me, and I'm not eating huge amounts in those meals either. So it's about 250 grams of a meat protein source, and then somewhere between 50 to 90 grams of rice, varies.
Okay.
I'm not starving, but I've got an appetite. I'm ready for the next meal. I mean, I'm just like when we finish this, I'll go and eat, and I'm hungry now. I can feel, you know, I'm starting to feel hungry, hungry now.
Okay. Now, I've tried it before, training fasted. You don't have any issue? Do you get a good pump still with that? Do you take anything supplement-wise or anything?
The supplement-wise, the only thing I'm taking is glutathione.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I have no issue with it as well. But you got to remember as well, Scott, I mean, I'm not really pushing big numbers and I'm not really pushing myself anywhere near limits at the moment. We're still just, you know, step by step building up every week.
I understand that. That's good, man. I think that's a great place to be, too. I feel like, you know, as cliche and as cheesy as the idea of your quote unquote fitness journey sounds, there is something to be said about the benefits of just having fitness in your life and improving each day, each week, you know.
It's just a nice place to be at the moment because there's no pressure.
Yeah, that's a great part of it.
You know, there's no need for anything or to do anything or to be anything. So I can just put my headphones on, switch the world away, and just spend as long as I need to do what I need to do. And that's whereas before, because it was 35 minutes there, 35 minutes back,
yeah,
there was, oh, shit, I've got to, oh, what's the time? Oh, shit, I've got to get back, you know. Yeah. But I don't need that. I mean, I can, even dragging my feet, I can still be back home, showered and ready to roll by 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's a great feeling right there.
So that really helps. And whereas before I would be getting up and there'd be a bit of a mental battle about whether I wanted to even bother going.
Yeah.
Now it's not even a consideration. And the other thing as well, which helps, whereas before I was having to get up and get out the door. If I'm a bit groggy because I've had a late one the night before, we're working late or something like that. I mean, last week there were a couple of 11, half 11 nights where I didn't finish. I've got time to sit and have a coffee and just put myself together before I go up.
That's important too.
So, yeah, it's fitting in really, really well. I wish I'd made the change sooner. However, my old training partner has been sending me pictures of his gym at home and I am going to have to go up and break it.
Oh, yeah, he's got a nice setup.
Oh. Are you familiar with Watson's equipment?
I am a little bit. We don't have a lot of it over here, but I am familiar with it.
Well, he's equipped his home gym with Watson's.
Really? What does he have?
Leg press, hack squat, which incorporates a cage. So there's a hack squat at one end and a full cage at the other end.
Okay.
Full set of dumbbells, bench press. V squat, lat pull down, low row, cable crossovers. Wow. He's just ordered a leg abductor. I think he's only got a seated leg curl. I don't think he's got a lying one.
Only, I mean, still any leg curl for your home gym. That's awesome, man.
He's spent some money. He has spent some money.
How high do his dumbbells go?
Think 60s.
Wow. Here's the thing. I don't know what it is about you guys in the UK. When I started really researching about anabolics, first place I went was to message boards, like a lot of people did. And this is like early 2002, 2004, somewhere in there. I can't remember, 4 maybe. And I started going on the UK boards. I got into Muscle Talk. It was a place that I went a lot. I learned a lot from those guys. I noticed there is a lot of you guys over there in the UK that have home gyms. It seems like more home gyms over there than over here in the US.
I've no idea if it is or not. I mean, I must admit, I do know a few. In fact, I'm going to see a client on next week who I said, right, let me know what postcode of the gym you train at. And he said, I train at home. And he's quite a decent level competitor. So I was quite surprised to find that he's based at a home gym and isn't based at a commercial, you know, a full-size gym.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's, I don't know if how common it is or not, to be honest. It's not something I've ever really paid much attention to.
Yeah, it's something that I've noticed versus a lot of us just, maybe, you know, maybe back then too, from what I remember, the guys were telling me that the gyms weren't as posh as they are over here with the level of equipment that we have. I think you guys have caught up since. You've told me about a lot of it.
There's some monster gyms now, but I agree that for a long time they were, I mean, people call them spit and shoulders. So I just call them shitholes because they were. I mean, they were, you know, there were gyms that were dirty and holes in, you know, holes in windows and freezing. And I mean, very common around where I am to have gyms in old mills.
Okay.
And some of them things, Jesus Christ, you're wearing five layers to go in there.
Yeah.
Oh, your sweat's freezing on your forehead. They are that cold in winter. You definitely aren't picking up bare metal bars without putting gloves on because your hands are sticking to the bars.
Mm. There's something to be said about that, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go back to it today. Not every day, but.
Well, I think the thing is, if that's your option of where you have to train, you're there because you want to be there.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. Yeah.
Because you definitely ain't going there for the luxuries and the social life because it's freezing. I mean, absolutely Baltic in some of them.
Yeah, I could imagine, man.
And I think that, so that did breed a bit of a do or die attitude towards training because you were training in environments where it wasn't all handed to you on a plate and it wasn't all excellent equipment and you just had to make do with what you had.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I hear some of the new guys today that will complain about like, oh, they don't clean this equipment very often, you know? It's like I remember when they never cleaned equipment, like ever, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been in gyms where you're wiping the nosebleed of the guy that was on there 3 days before off before you used it.
Yeah, yeah. You can hardly see yourself in the mirror because of all the spit on it and when you're squatting.
Yeah, there is a bin in the corner, but it overflowed about 4 months ago and it's still growing.
Right, right. Man,
but yeah, I mean, there's still a few gyms like that now, but I mean, I've been to a few gyms and really wondered what the hype was about the gym because there may be an atmosphere, but the actual equipment was fucking garbage.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man, we're recording this show pre-Arnold. So this isn't we're always a week ahead because we've got some good planning between us. And therefore, the shows keep coming out and we have a cushion in case, you know, you're traveling or whatever, if we have to miss for some reason. So this show comes out after the Arnold. But I'm going to tell you anyway, though, Dave, I'm excited, man, because we are recording this before the Arnold. I'm doing my laundry right now in order to pack. I'm going to get everything ready to go after we're done recording. I'll be hitting the road first thing in the morning. I wish you could be there with us, man. Wish you could see Luke.
Yeah, it would be nice to see how Luke does, but I'm quietly confident he's going to hold his own this time.
I think so. I'm excited for him. Should we just pretend like it already happened and say he did really good?
Yeah,
because it's
good. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, yeah, I can't believe how well you played.
Oh, that was so good. So good. Amazing. Good job, Luke.
I mean, it's only a problem in it. You can only control what you're doing when you're stepping up the stage. You can't control what others are.
Yeah, that's true.
But from what I've seen of his latest pictures, he's definitely bringing the best he has ever brought.
Yeah.
And that goes from not just condition, which I know he's suffered a little bit with in the past, but also shape and mass and balance and everything.
Yeah, I feel like he's just continued to improve. You know, it's it'll be interesting to see what happens. And while everybody's listening to this, they already know because it has already happened. We're going to do the podcast event, by the way. So that's going to be cool, man. Wish you could be there for that too. You are going to be out there at Body Power. We talked about that an episode ago. So you're coming out to Body Power. Are you going to be talking, did you say?
Possibly, yes. I'm just waiting for confirmation of what we're doing. It's very changed this year, and I'd be alive. I said I knew exactly what's going on. But whereas previous years have had the bodybuilding evolution area,
okay,
where they've had training seminars and just general chats, and that's where I spoke with Scott last year.
Okay, yeah.
I believe that's gone, or it's gone in that format.
Okay.
There still is a gym training area. There's still going to be those sort of things, but it's all done slightly differently this year, and I'm not quite sure how it all works.
Hmm.
But I believe I might be doing some of either with Scott or around the same area as Scott at some point. And there's been a conversation about that. And then I believe I'm doing a talk on drug use for another area. And then I'm with three companies as well. So there's Medichex, Youth Revisited, and Strom Nutrition as well.
Okay.
And I think my wife's going to be working it as well this year. She's just giving me the finger at the moment.
Which you probably deserve.
She hates it. She absolutely hates body power.
Does she really?
Yeah, she can't do with it, but she just finds it extremely fake, and she's not. I mean, she trains because she wants to train and keep fit, but she's not into the lifestyle or all that crap.
Well, listen, too, when you're married to a guy who has been the, quote, 400-pound freak, like, all the other guys look like they don't even train anymore. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to go there, and, like, 99.9% of the guys, she's just going to be like, oh, those guys are all just fakers, you know?
I don't...
It's the Gymshark culture.
Well, don't really have that.
That's what it's been.
Can she hear me right now?
You never really saw me as a massive bodybuilder, did you?
I saw you.
She said she saw me as a fat bastard.
Can she hear me right now?
Yeah, she's sat in the corner sniggering to herself at the moment. She's coming around so she can abuse you on the microphone.
No, I'm not abusing.
You think we could get Dave into like a Gymshark stringer tank top, maybe?
Probably if you cut it in half and added another two to it, yeah.
Are you coming out to... So it sounds like you're coming out to body power then. What are you going to do out there with Dave?
Probably sit in a corner and bitch.
But you might be working when it stands if you've done your course, haven't you?
No. Can't get on till March.
No, right, okay. Yeah, it's not till May, love.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, no.
Yeah, so she would potentially be... She's doing a phlebotomy course.
Oh, okay.
So she may be working on either Medichex or Youth, checking bloods for blood testing.
You're kidding. They're going to do that at the show.
There's talk of it. We don't know for definite.
They would actually be able to do blood work on spot. That's freaking amazing.
Well, they'd be able to take the samples, but the samples would then obviously be refrigerated and then sent off every evening to wherever they're going to.
Sure. I don't know why nobody ever thought of that before. I think that's a hell of an idea, and it's great for just awareness of health, you know?
Yeah. Well, there is definitely a bigger focus at Body Power this year on health.
Okay.
There's definitely a move towards that this year, which I'm pleased, and if I'm honest, somewhat surprised. Because they've never really shown, and I don't mean this in a nasty way, but they've never really shown a moral responsibility in that sense before. So I do find it quite refreshing that they are now looking at doing it this time.
Oh, cool. It looks like that'll be May 10th through the 12th, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, it's... I believe it's split into fitness and lifestyle, sports and performance, and aesthetics. And it's got like three areas.
Okay, interesting.
But I don't know much more than that.
Well, I've heard a lot of good stuff about it. I would love to try to make
You're
it out there.
This year. We've already discussed this.
I am seriously going to think about it. I'll have to look after we get off the line here and see what the prices are for tickets to get out there. And if I, like I said before, if I get out there, I need to do like a tour or two and see all the gyms while I'm out there.
You need to go in Scott's suitcase. That's fine. Just tell him to bring a big suitcase. We'll stuff you in. Job done.
And just wheel me in. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a couple of protein shakes.
Might be a bit cold on the flight, but never mind.
And a Gatorade bottle to pee in, and I'll be set.
We're not getting that fancy. Come on.
All right. Well, listen, what do you say we take a quick break and come back and knock out our questions?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, guys, we'll be right back in a sec. Hey, guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com and use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows. Hey guys, I wanted to take this break to say thanks to Dave for everything he's doing here at ADVICES Radio, and thanks to Dave for everything he's doing for bodybuilding as a whole. You guys can check out more of his stuff. Go visit his website. It's crosslands.org.uk. That's crosslands.org.uk. Crosslands Harm Reduction Service specializes in providing concise, informative, and effective drug training to a wide range of professions, as well as advice to individual users. You guys can also check Dave out on his YouTube page, which is in the show notes, and also go to underconstructionthefilm.com to purchase the films today. Use the code ADVICES25 for a discount. Guys, and welcome back to Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland and Scott McNally. We are over in the forum at forum.advicesradio.com, or you could just go to advicesradio.com and click on the forum button. In the bodybuilding section, we have threads stickied for all the shows. We are in the Drugs and Stuff thread. We've got a couple of interesting ones here, and if we can get through these, I'll go back to see the thread we created for Luke to see if there were any general questions there that we had not answered. But to start us out, we have Coach Mike.
And before we start, just need to apologize on the Anavar and T3 question. I have got the information, but I haven't had a chance to go through it yet, so I'll make sure I've done that by the next time we do the podcast.
Okay, and you're referencing... Okay, so I remember this. There was a question... you had talked about this previously, that Anavar may speed the conversion of T4 to T3, correct?
Yeah, have an impact on it, yes. So okay. I've pulled out some research and studies.
Okay.
But I haven't had a chance to go. There's 10 in total, and I haven't had a chance to go through them all yet.
With all that time you're saving, not having to drive to the faraway gym... all right.
There is a mild impairment of anabolic steroids on thyroid function.
Okay.
For the general, but I do believe that Anavar has a slightly different effect. But I want to make sure that I'm quoting from proper research and not just coming out with some bollocks.
Fair enough. All right, we'll get to that on the next one. Coach Mike says, "Hey Scott, I'll preface this by saying I am addicted to all the ADVICES Radio podcasts. I'm not active on the forums, but I have read Fortitude and Be Your Own Bodybuilding Coach, Dr. Scott's book. I have a question for, well, whichever podcast you think would be the best fit." I told him, bring it here. "I've always been natty, but started running my first cycle about 3 weeks ago." And he posted this about a week ago, so we're about 4 weeks in now. He says, "My question is about aromatase inhibitors and when I need them. I'm currently running 500 milligrams. He wrote micrograms of Testee, but I know he means milligrams. And has been using 12.5 milligrams of aromasin twice a week. My mood has been absolute shit, anger, mood swings, and depression. A gym bro told me on my current dose of test, there's no reason to be blocking estrogen. My extremely low estrogen could be contributing to my tennis elbow flare-ups. The other factors are that I am a veteran of the Iraq War, having fought in Fallujah, Iraq. Diagnosed with PTSD and currently taking 225 milligrams of vinlaxaphine. I am planning on doing an Anavar and Winstrol at about 8 weeks out. So my question is, what dose of test Anavar Winstrol
Is an aromatase inhibitor needed? I'm terrified of gyno and have heard horror stories. I'll also throw in, so before the show, we looked up what venlaxaphine is, and it is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, as well as a norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. So it's going to be an antidepressant as well as have an effect on norepinephrine. So it's going to keep those levels higher in your blood. Dave, there's a lot of stuff in here I think that we want to tackle. I see a lot of things standing up. Where do you want to start with this one?
Well, I mean, the one thing that jumped out very, very early, I mean, the gym friend that said he may not need control is correct. For a lot of people, they would be quite symptom-free on 500 milligram of test a week.
Okay.
But what I found quite surprising was his then comment was that my severely low estrogen. He has no idea, and obviously aromacin is quite mild in action.
Yeah.
There's so much going on medically or medically stroke mentally with him that he really needs, I mean, it wouldn't be somebody I would have suggested in the first place that using gear was a good idea. But he needs to just test his bloods and see where his levels are. Instead of assuming all these different factors, just have a look and see. You know, and then you'll know if you're over-suppressing your estrogen with your control. I doubt you are, but it's not beyond possibilities.
Yeah.
If he's feeling like shit, it's got nothing necessarily anything to do with estrogen control. It could just be the gear.
Yeah, because even like you're saying, with aromacin not being a super strong, overly strong compound, and he's only taking a half a tab twice a week, I wouldn't guess that his estrogen was in the garbage, right?
No, I'd be surprised. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, but I would be surprised.
And even if it were, let's say he was like just destroying estrogen with it, like, because I could see, I've seen guys run 25 milligrams of aromacin every day while taking a dose like that. And I'm not going to say that's what I would suggest doing, but I've seen that done. You'd be more likely to lower your estrogen too low at that point. But really, would you expect, even in that case, anger, mood swings, and depression?
Depression, I'd expect libido issues. There is maybe an element of irritability. I mean, the other thing is he says that his tennis elbows got worse.
Yeah.
If it was low estrogen, he'd be feeling joint pain everywhere.
Mm, yeah.
Just be his tennis elbow. And more likely than anything, the tennis elbow situation is because he's moving more load.
Sure.
Because he's on gear.
That makes sense.
So I would first think, test your estrogen, see where you are. Then make an informed decision based on that.
Okay.
I do think, though, that anyone that's got a history of depression or any sort of mental health impacts like PTSD, these sort of problems, some people, they find gear to be a godsend. It really levels them out. Others, it can really put them in the tank.
Yeah.
And there's not really any sort of predetermined way of going, yes, you're going to be good on gear even though you've got PTSD, or no, it's really going to finish you off. It is just to suck it and see.
Yeah.
He really needs to see where his estrogen is as well before he starts adding in stuff like Winstrol. If by any chance he is low on his estrogen and then he adds in an antiprogestogenic like Winstrol, he's only going to make matters a lot worse. And if he's suffering with problems with his tennis elbow, Winstrol wouldn't be the drug I'd go for either.
That's a good point.
I mean, Winstrol does reduce progesterone levels. Progesterone is primary in producing anti-inflammatory for the joints. So he's only going to complex and compound the problem he's currently got. But I suspect that the tendonitis is not related to his hormones. I suspect it's related to the fact that he's possibly training with bigger weights.
Hmm.
Test his estrogen, see where that is. And if his management is out, then obviously correct according to whatever you find. But I can't see him being in a big mess on what he's currently running. And I think it's more looking for issues that aren't actually there instead of looking for the simplest issue, which is the gear. is what's called the problem.
Yeah. I could see that. Terrified of gyno. I think getting the lab work, that's going to fix that concern away, right?
Is it possible to get gyno on 500 milligram a test a week? Yes. You'd have to be very unfortunate.
Yeah.
But there's no harm in throwing 20 milligram of Novadex in as a little bit of a safeguard until he knows where his levels are.
Okay.
The other alternative is a DHT cream and rub that into the nipple.
Yeah. He's probably safe, I'm guessing. I mean, of course, lab work would tell, but...
I would be... He's a very, very unlucky individual, and he's hypersensitive if he's getting gyno on 500 mg a test.
Yeah. And then when he adds the Anavar and Winstrol in, I mean, those aren't necessary. Unless he had some sort of negative reaction to DHT compounds, I feel like most people were going to do fine with those as far as gyno goes.
Yeah. I mean, well, they, if anything, should reduce gyno because DHT protects.
Yeah.
I mean, DHT topical creams is a treatment for gyno. It's one of the preventive treatments for gyno. So they will do nothing but help the situation if there is. But I, like I say, I think we've possibly got a situation where somebody's overanalyzing things and being overly sensitive to what they think's happening because they've got this predetermined idea that that is what's going on.
Mm.
You know what we do it. You know what it's like. If you expect something to do something, then you'll find cause and justification for that action to take place, whether it is or not.
Yeah, the placebo effect, right?
Yeah, very much so. But you know, people don't really think of that in a negative format, but it can work in a negative way as well.
Yeah, I heard of a study where they told these guys. I think Scott Stevenson told me about it. They told these guys that they were going to give them D-ball. And they talked about how great D-ball was for performance and, you know, really built it up. But then they didn't give them any D-ball. They just gave them a placebo. But the guys all increased their performance.
Yeah. There's been a few things like that. I've seen it done with not so much with steroids, but I was party to an experiment with alcohol.
Oh, really?
Where they told everybody they were drinking alcohol, and within it was a barbecue situation, and that's alcoholic punch, that's alcohol, and there was no alcohol there at all.
You're kidding me. Were you part of this?
I was part of the organization that was doing the experiment, so I knew what was going on. But
What happened?
They all started falling around pissed as fart.
You're kidding me.
No, because they believed they were drinking alcohol.
Huh. That's funny.
And you can actually see it. I've seen people do it with their own kids.
Okay.
Where, you know, it's Christmas or it's a special occasion and the kids, oh, can I have a glass of wine? And they give them alcohol-free wine and don't tell them.
Okay.
And then the kids start acting drunk.
Yeah.
Or getting giddy, or getting hyper, or getting silly. Because even from a young age, you know, we're pre-programmed that these are the effects that these things have on us.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, that's what we expect to happen. So that's how our body responds. Alcohol's an interesting one because there are physical inabilities that alcohol causes. But there's also a large amount of psychological effects because that's what we expect to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite interesting when you start getting into all that mad mental stuff.
I don't think that we covered this question. I'm looking up through the questions here. Stop me if I did cover this one. Hey, guys, love the podcast. I have placed top two in several local shows and qualified for nationals, physique and classic physique. I'm looking to compete in the Masters Nationals this year. I have a show I am just about to do in 4 weeks, and then after the show, I am planning on jumping onto my first cycle, hoping to add more growth for the national comp. Currently running TRT at 1 milliliter twice a week. Once I compete at my show in March, how long should I wait for my body to rebound from the extreme conditioning before I jump on the cycle to compete for nationals, which is in August? Last show I did was in November, and I had some edema in my legs. And I didn't feel right for about 2 to 3 weeks. Looking forward to hearing your opinions.
Right, rewind. He's on TRT, but he takes 2 mil a week.
Is that what he says currently? Twice, yeah, 1 milliliter of TRT. It says he's currently TRT 1 milliliter twice a week. So I'm going to guess it's that's at least 400, could be 500 milligrams a test.
Yeah, so he's on cycle then.
Yeah, okay.
Albeit a low cycle, but he's on cycle then.
Yeah.
That ain't TRT.
I've seen TRT as low as like 70 milligrams a week.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, the standard would be around the 120 to 150 mark, I would have said, for most people. But some people get away with less. Some people need a little bit more. But no one runs TRT, legit TRT at 500 a week.
Yeah.
So he's going on his first cycle, but he's already on cycle.
Yeah.
So if he's running 2 mil a week, well, we're assuming he's running sometimes between somewhere between 400 and 500 milligram a week. Unless he's running, unless he's running prop.
I guess that's possible. But you'd think he would tell us that.
Yeah. If he's getting some issues with edema on the stage and he's running 500 mg a week, well, it's quite obvious where we'd start looking at the culprit, because he won't be running anything to control his estrogen, which is going to be particularly viable stepping on stage. I mean, he was asking about a cycle post-show, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he's going to do this show. It's in March, and then he's planning. He says he wants to grow before his next show in August. Dave, I don't feel like that's a lot of time to grow, to rebound and grow muscle and come in looking very much different, do you?
Let me think. March, August. Depends on how lean he can stay and where we're sitting in August.
But do you think it's going to be, I mean, he's not going to change his physique. Like, it's not going to be dramatic from, because he'll have to, like, I think you make a good point. If he stays lean, okay, that's one thing. But that's also, he's going to be limited into how much he can grow, just given the time and the fact that he has to be stage ready again by August.
I mean, I'm assuming he's on TRT because he has a, well, whatever his TRT is, but I'm assuming he's on because he has a requirement. So we're not looking at really having to worry about PCT. So if he competes in March, he could probably do a post-show rebound in about 3 weeks and be back up to some normal level of training and eating, and not really having to be overly concerned about managing anything else after that point.
Okay.
That would give him an 8 to 10 week window to put some growth on, as long as he was managing his body fat quite efficiently, and then that would give him potentially an 8 week diet into a show.
Yeah. So he couldn't really maximize his growth.
It's not gonna be an off season, but
yeah.
I mean, if he was genuinely not running anything, and at the moment we're assuming that he's actually running something, but if he was genuinely not running anything and that was his first cycle, then I'd say, yeah, you're probably going to do all right because you're going to have a great response. But with him already running what we think is 2 mil a week, then he's not going to get that same sort of newbie gains that he would have done if he was running either a true TRT or nothing at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He could potentially push it. And like I said, we're thinking he is on TRT. So he could sort of extend it to a quite a big cycle and do a sort of elongated lean bulk recomp type situation.
Into the
it
show.
It depends on how well he manages his rebound.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those periods of time that's sort of in the middle that's not, it's not really short enough to go straight into a comp. So, you know, I mean, if he's generally starting on his first ever cycle, then he'd probably quite comfortably grow in prep just for the simple reason of the fact that it's the first time he's ever been on gear.
Sure.
But from what he said, it looks like it's not. It's looked like he's already running gear at quite a reasonable level in regards to time period he's running it over, and he's not actually realised how high his dosage is in comparison. I don't know. It's without knowing exactly what he's doing now, it's difficult to say. But if for argument, say, he was generally running two shots of 75 mg a week, then he could probably get some quite good response because it's going to be the first time any decent level of gear has hit his body.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not ideal. A lot depends on his condition. But there's room for progress. But yeah, I think we'd all like to see a longer period of time in which to really push it.
Here's my thought. I think, because, you know, I talk to, this is one of the things that I run into a lot, or especially newer guys that, you know, get a hold of me and they tell me that they want to do a show. And then the first thing we need to do is get a solid plan together in order to be successful. I don't like his plan at all. This makes no sense to me. I would, and I'm not telling him he should change it now. I don't want to persuade him into doing anything other than he wants to do. But if I were working with this guy, I would not have him do a March show because I see he's already qualified. There's no point in doing that show. All you're doing is holding yourself back because right now is the time that you should be growing. From March to August, you have 5 months. And in most cases, I would want to do, and it depends on how lean you are to start, but I would want to consider it to be a contest prep by, you know, 4 months out at least. You still may be able to eat a lot of food, but we're going to keep it clean. We're going to start tracking what's going on. And we're going to be, you know, making sure that you are at the very least not going the opposite direction. We want to be starting to make improvements at that point toward conditioning for the show. This is just, it's not a good plan. It's a terrible plan, honestly. Sorry, I'm getting irritated looking at the plan because it you qualified last year. Your sights are set on what's important here. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he wants to do this to stay requalified in case he doesn't do well at nationals. But my thought is do a show that's right around when you plan to peak for August. Do a state level show then so that you can maintain your qualification if needed. But realistically, though, it's too precarious of a period of downtime. You know, let's figure that, you know, Dave, like you said, maybe you're going to recover from the first contest after a month and you'll be at a point where, you know, now you're able to start moving weights again. Okay, well, now we have 4 months left before you need to be back on stage. I don't care how much gear you're using. 4 months is not going to be a period of time where it's not going to be worth it. You're not going to look at your physique at one show and then knock everybody out at the next one. You're not going to be much different. And it's just the reality of it. I don't care if you're using gear or not. You need more time. And that's just me as a coach,
I didn't actually pick up on the qualification bit, to be fair, because obviously this show is actually not necessary. And I didn't pick that up. I completely missed that. So when you put that into the equation, then you've got to ask, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Why aren't you taking this time to now grow? And I mean, if he's been dieting for this show, he's going to be lean.
Right.
So use that advantage now, and you can get March, April, and May of some decent growth in and probably still get down in time for August if you really do it right.
I bet, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, no, if never picked up on the qualification, but if he's pre-qualified, then yeah, you've got to ask the question, why are you doing this show in March?
And if he wasn't even, then I would still want to plan a show that was going to be leading into the actual contest. You know, if that's in August, then, you know, maybe July, somewhere in there, find a show. And if you really were concerned, leave yourself enough room to have a couple options before the actual target show. But he doesn't even need to worry about that. He's already got his qualification. He's ready to roll.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm not sure if this is one that you know about. We've never talked about it. just watched a video about a new peptide called LL37. I was wondering if Dave has heard about this and it's his opinion on effectiveness for gut health.
I haven't, but I'm just asking Google.
Okay.
So just bear with me to...
We'll have some more homework for you.
It's a antimicrobial peptide.
Huh.
Okay. Right, okay. I need to do some reading. No, I haven't heard of it, actually, at all.
Interesting.
But its common name is, I'm going to say this wrong.
Okay.
Cathelicidin.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds close to it.
Huh. Antimicrobial. I can't speak today.
Yeah,
peptide.
The polypeptide probably still. You're on Wikipedia, right?
I just Googled it. Yeah.
No, I haven't heard of it. Actually, I'll have to do some digging on that. I'm not sure what the benefits are from it.
Yeah, and I'm also looking to see if you can buy it. Yeah, it looks like it is available. Oh, hey, Dave, while I remember, I'd wanted to ask you, we were talking earlier about one of your clients. We were talking about toxicity and I believe gear. Kind of an interesting little story you had. I thought that this could be beneficial to share with the listeners. Can you tell us about what that situation was?
Yeah, this is a powerlifting client of mine that's obviously what's very, very common with powerlifting is well, I suppose it is with bodybuilding as well, actually, is hitting multiple shows. and we'd, the timing of this was all very, very awkward.
Okay.
And so I designed a program for him and designed all the cycle for him. And there's a period within the cycle where basically he almost drops down to a cruise for 3 weeks. And he was questioning as to why I'd done this.
Yeah.
And so what we'd done is we'd done a cycle of 8 weeks effectively to try and do a little bit of an off season because we were pushed for time. And this is far from an ideal situation, but it's just what we were left with. And then we had a pretty much 11 weeks post that up to the comp, and he was doing an 8 week build up. So obviously there's a 3 week gap in the middle. And he was sort of expecting that the cycle from, cause it wasn't a heavy cycle for the off season. We relied more on just heavy compounds, hard work, and just a decent dose in the drugs to help him along. But we were keeping best, particularly the androgen side of things, quite low. And then as we push him towards the show, we start to bring the androgens up a bit more. And it was asking why there was this drop for 3 weeks. And one of the things that you need to look at when you're building cycles is overall toxicity of what you're doing. And wherever you've got opportunity, particularly if you're having to run multiple peaks over a period of time and there isn't time to correctly come off, then you would... If you've got an opportunity, for even if it's only for a week or 2 weeks, to drop down to a cruise dose, take it.
Yeah.
Because toxicity comes from dose and duration. And the longer you on, the more it builds up. Now, many of us have experienced in a cycle where we get to a point where we just start feeling shitty and it all just starts going a bit Pete Tom.
Yeah, Pete Tom. I remember that now.
Yes. You know, everything starts to go a little bit wrong. Training efficiency starts to drop. The weights aren't going up the way they are. We feel a little bit under the weather. And basically, that's because you're toxic. So if you're having to run a cycle that's a little bit elongated or has to bridge a couple of dates where you don't have room to fit in a downtime correctly,
yeah,
take whatever downtime you can get and use it because it will lower the overall total toxicity.
That makes sense.
The other thing is, look at your androgens. Look at your anabolic and the androgenic profiles of the drugs you're using. Because if you're running drugs that have got high androgenic factors, they're going to be highly toxic, which means you can't stay on for long.
Yeah.
So if you're having to run an extended cycle because of the way it shows fit, it might be that the qualifier that you have to do is sort of 6 weeks out from your end show, but you're doing a 14 run up to the qualifier. So you end up looking at a 20-week cycle.
Yeah.
Well, what you don't want to do then is be putting training 3 weeks into your cycle. You want to leave it to the last 3-4 weeks before your first show, and again, the last 3 weeks before your last show.
There you go. Yeah.
So you keep that toxicity down. That way, you're better. Your body's going to remain focused on recovery and growth, and it's not going to have to start focusing on just keeping you alive or combating the toxicity, the growing toxicity within your body.
Right. I'll tell you too, man, you're on trend for a long time, and now powerlifting's different, obviously. Aesthetics aren't as important, but you take on a different look when you can get a toxic look. I've seen guys that just look drugged, and it not in a good way at all. You know, coming into
I think that generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, you can tell if somebody's heavily reliant on trend when it comes to their growth.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, so it's just be wary of the fact that, you know, these drugs are toxic. We all know this. That will build up. And so one of the key elements to drug cycle management is managing toxicity.
Yeah.
And it isn't a case of just taking antitoxins in order to try and combat that. You've got to be sensible at how you manage your drugs, when you bring your heavy androgenics in, and when you keep them out. And you know, your baselines want to be very much more towards higher anabolic levels and low androgens, and then you bring your androgens in nearer the periods of time that you want to peak.
Mm, yeah,
that will keep you healthy, that will keep you continually to progress.
I would agree totally. Yeah,
but it's a lot of things people don't, they think, right, I'm going for a comp, so I'm gonna run test, mast, and tren, and they'll start 16 weeks out on test, mast, and tren.
Yeah, I never do that.
And then they get to 12 weeks out and they're feeling like absolute shit. Way worse than they should do at 4 weeks out from a show.
Yeah.
Where if you started on just a bit of test and deca or just test or MPP and then got 4 weeks in, dropped in a bit of mast, and then 6-8 weeks in, dropped in your tren, it's still going to have the effect you want it to have in the way it's going to make your physique look. But it's not going to kick the ass out of your health.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And I like that idea a lot. And that goes in line with what I was talking about that other week when I was saying, like, you know, keeping things lower and, you know, bringing it higher at the end. That's like when I start guys out at 16 weeks or whatever, if they're going to run anything, it's just going to be test and, you know, maybe start using a fat burner or something like that. And there's no reason, like you're saying, there's no reason at the beginning of a contest prep to be using tren, you know, not out the gate.
No. Well, I mean, it's just be wary of the androgenic, you know, ratios within drugs.
Yeah.
And just try and manage them a little bit.
Yeah.
And if you're conscious of that factor, then it's a lot easier to manage. And you will respond better, you will get better growth and better results if you're fit and well enough to train hard than you will if your training is compromised because you are run down, for want of a better term, even if you're continually upping the dose to compensate.
Yeah.
It is the most important factor of all this is the training. And the more you can do to keep that fresh and keep that progressing, the better you'll respond.
Yeah, fair enough, man. I'm totally with you there. hopefully that will help it, you know, give some people some food for thought. We're out of questions, though, Dave. I'm looking around here. I think that's all we've got. So last episode, we had suggested everybody head over to the thread. I'll post that up over at the advices page on Facebook. Sign up for the forum, guys, forum.advicesradio.com. Head over to the drugs and stuff thread, which I am going to post at the advices page on Facebook, and start getting us some more questions. If we have to, we'll go back to Facebook and post over there. But I'm going to try to build things up in our question thread. That way they're all in the same place. Dave, I get a lot of people that will message me and say, hey, I've got a question for the show. And then I forget, you know, because it's like in a PM or it's at Instagram. You know, it's all over the place. It's the best way we can keep it all together is here. And if we'd ever miss anything, too, just let me know. I'd be happy to go back because we try to cover everything unless it's a topic we've talked about like five times. We had some questions about your thoughts on insulin use, and we've covered that one a bunch of times. Yeah. I don't know if I totally agree with you still.
I appreciate that, but that's the joy of us being adults is that we can disagree.
And that I can be right.
Yes, well, obviously, you hold the control button. You're always going to be right.
No, I appreciate a good, because it's made me think, you know, one of the things you were saying is that, and I could see it, that people might not train as hard because they get that awesome pump from taking the insulin pre-workout. It makes a lot of sense, man. People stop early. I could see how that could be possible. I've gotten away from using it pre-workout now, and not necessarily for that reason. When I have used it, I'll use it post-workout now.
And how do you feel having dropped it pre-workout?
Well, I hadn't really been using it consistently anyway, so it wasn't a big change, honestly. But for me, it's just been that I've been training on less food, and then I eat more food after I work out. So if I've used it, it would be post-workout, just, you know, a few units. So it's not making a big difference in my life either way right now.
Yeah. Trust me. Honestly, you'll come round to the revolution, sir.
Well, everybody's on the every other day growth protocol now, keeping it at a low dose. I think they're probably saving a lot of money thanks to listening to drugs and stuff.
I think if people are genuinely honest, they will see no net difference. If anything, they'll probably feel better for it.
Yeah, and they'll save a lot in the process.
Yeah.
I think people just want to believe there's something more, you know?
Well, the thing is with the growth in insulin is you see weight increases, you see visual size increases, so it's understandable that you go, well, this is working.
Yeah, until you stop, right?
Yeah, and that's the bit you needed to look at the overall picture, you know. And there are guys out there that are very influential that are big promoters of it. But I still ask the question, how much stage weight have they put on in the last 4 years? And in the most cases, very little. So if they were really gaining these massive loads over their off season, the 20 and 30 pounds that the scales are showing, then why isn't it translating to that on stage?
Here's something I have never asked you about under construction. When you hit 415, did you figure to yourself you were going to keep a lot more of that than you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I knew things had gone wayward. I wasn't stupid enough to realize. I was bright enough to realize that, but too stupid to act upon it.
Okay, fair enough.
So there was an element of denial, and there was an element of, and I think because 392, even though a lot of it was the supercompensation of glycogen within the muscle that was giving my shape and size, the balance between weight and condition I was still happy with.
Oh, okay.
The problem was, though, that when it tipped over that, it tipped over that in a massive way, and I spilled out hugely. So even though I was only, well, say only, I was 23 pounds heavier at the end, the overspill was more like 40 pounds.
Okay.
And when I dropped that, I came down, what was it, about 60 pounds? In water.
That's crazy, man.
And that wasn't just sub-Q water. You know, that was intramuscular water and everything. So I was nowhere near as full as I'd been.
Sure.
But I was shocked to see that I actually had the beginnings of a six-pack.
Mm.
And it was like, just, whoa. But I was also shocked to see that my net gain of muscle mass in that second film was very minimal.
Mm. Yeah.
In comparison to the first film, where it was very blatantly obvious because I was 65 pound fucking heavier.
Yeah.
And though I wasn't as lean, I definitely wasn't even 25 pound of fat heavier, you know what I mean? Whereas in the last one, I was 60, again, I was 50 pound heavier.
Yeah.
But I looked like 50 pound of fat had been added.
Yeah.
And when it all came off and dropped, there was even the potential that I'd lost size.
Man, that's heartbreaking right there.
Because I was so focused on how fat I was getting, I was starting to restrict my food.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I knew things had gone peak tong, but it was like, I was so close to 400. It was like, just ride it out.
Yeah.
Just, you know, which was a false economy completely, but, you're only human. And when you've invested so much time and money and effort and pain into something, you sort of want to see the end of it, even if it's detrimental.
Oh, I get it completely.
But yeah, I mean, even if I was still using, I don't think I'd ever go over therapeutic dose of growth, and that would be it.
Okay. That's about where I'm at, 2 units a day now. I'm just going to leave it at that.
But otherwise, I wouldn't bother.
All right. Well, listen, let's head on out, and then when we come back, we will discuss Anavar and its relationship to T4 to T3 conversion, and possibly talk about some LL37. I'll do a little digging on that one too, and see if I can find any resources. Talk to anybody who may have had some experience, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, all I can see at the moment is a treatment in inflammatory skin problems like adult rosacea and stuff like that.
Mm. Hey, that could be beneficial to some people, I'm sure, too.
Especially yeah, I can't find much more on it.
Okay, all right. All right, well, for another episode of Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland, I'm Scott McNally, and we will see you guys soon.
Bye.
Voices Radio Network.